You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy game day Eve, everybody.
I thought you just said happy game day.
Oh, you were worried?
I was excited because, you know, the Bills play tomorrow. But
you're like, if that's tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I was also like, what happened to Wednesday? Where did Wednesday go?
Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Of course, with it being game day Eve, and I did see Sal Capaccio tweeted it as well. We will hear Sal and Sean McDermott's interview coming up in just about 45 minutes here in hour number one. We will hear then from Sal at 11. We'll also get a look at the weather down in Miami with Patrick Hammer in about an hour and a half at 11:30. So we got a packed day today. I will say, though, I was driving in this morning. I got here a little bit earlier, so I was more just hanging out in my car and listening to Jeremy and Joe. And Jeremy bringing up today being 9/11, of course, and bringing up that both you and Joe were very young. Josh, maybe you were in the same age bracket here, and, and you were saying, like, you kind of have a recollection,
literally
a little bit.
An image in my head of looking at the TV and also remembering, like, wanting to play with my dad because I'm, like, 2 or 3 years old.
Yep.
And he's just like, not right now, like, something's going on.
Yeah, we're watching the news.
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're like, it's like, the news, man.
Who cares? It's the news. Yeah. Like, you're a three-year-old. You don't have the comprehension yet, obviously. Like,
yep.
You know, but it is, you know, as the one caller put it, a day that'll live in infamy. One of those one of those days in world history, not just American history, that will always be remembered.
Yep.
For just everything that happened on the day and everything that's happened since in a sort of domino effect, if you will.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's hard. Like, it's a hard thing. Even though I was only 3 years old, it's still, you know, makes me kind of emotional
a
thinking
lot
about
of
it. And
the rest of your life has been set up by that moment.
Right.
I mean, I still, you know, just kind of more been, you know, lighthearted thing. Ever going to an airport, traveling with anyone older than like 35 is like, oh, remember when this was easier?
Right.
Or you watch a rom-com movie and you're like, yeah, when like they actually go to the gate with the person.
Right.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
You're seeing old movies when people would run all the way to a gate. I mean...
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Home Alone is probably one of the best examples of that, where it's, you know, there's...
To us, that's basically fiction, but in reality, that was...
Right.
And it's a reality. It's a little thing, but yeah, like, our lives have drastically changed. We barely even realize it, because we're both... I think I'm a year older than you.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 at the time. I have no memories of it. I think I was in preschool early, you know, kind of like the daycare. I don't remember anything.
Like I said, my memory is... It's very vague. It's not like I'm remembering key parts of the day or anything. It's like a 2-second blip.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you've ever made it down to New York City at the memorial and everything, but
I did want to bring up. I did
back in college, and unfortunately I didn't get there when it was open, right? Like, we were on a, you know, kind of a weekend sort of trip, me and some of friends, for a radio conference, because we were all in the college radio station. We were all down there. And when the conferences were done, we had kind of the evening and afternoon to do what we wanted. And we were trying to explore New York City, do a bunch of different stuff. And we ended up getting to the 9/11 memorial after close. But you can still walk around the area and everything. And the fountains were off because it was nighttime. Yep. Everything was closed. But just being in that square, if you want to call it that,
it hits you.
I can't describe it. It's
that's
very
the feeling I got. Yeah,
and quiet. There's even though it's New York City and it's always loud, that area is somehow dead silent.
Yep. It was maybe 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy at the time was living in New Jersey, and you know, I hadn't seen him in a while, so I went to go visit him over 4th of July weekend. And so I'm hanging out with him and his girlfriend, and you know, we decided to take a trip into the city, and it just so happens that, like, we kind of made our way over there as we're, you know, kind of doing sightseeing and getting food and everything like that. And just, you're right, like, as you kind of got there, the city all of a sudden went from, you know, very loud, and it, you know, kind of has that the aura of the city that never sleeps. And yeah, I would say it was around 2-3 in the afternoon or whatever, and it was just, you know, dead quiet over there. And it was, that was a very interesting moment in my life, like going there and everything like that. I'd never seen the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. I've heard that's a very similar experience where it's just, in a way, almost haunting. That's kind of the feeling I got from it. And as somebody that never, you know, you were 3, I was 4 years old. It's the first, you know, historical event we've ever lived through. But, you know, it's the quote unquote lived. We don't have real memories of it. I know Jeremy also was mentioning the Challenger explosion. I know there are hundreds of people that share the story of they were sitting in an elementary school classroom and, you know, teachers were wheeling in a TV to watch it because, well, you know, I believe she was like the teacher of the year. She got to go up in the Challenger. Like this, it was a really cool moment, and especially, you know, the Challenger, at least I could be remembering this wrong, but kind of was leading up to, you know, space travel is becoming more and more sort of not regulated, but like a school teacher could go up there rather than, you know right. test pilots and yeah. stuff like that.
You don't have to be someone that's part of NASA anymore. Yeah. You can just be Joe Schmo that won a contest.
Yeah, and sure, they'll train you, but here you go. And, you know, that moment, I know for a lot of people is sort of like a linchpin moment in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just I would have felt awful if we had just moved past it, especially for, you know, me and you. You know, we easily could have. We don't have the memories of it.
Right. Well,
and I didn't want to do that.
Also for me, my dad is a volunteer fireman. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of hit close to home there too, in that sense of just knowing what you can never understand what mm-hmm. those families have gone through.
Yep.
Obviously, but understanding or trying to understand that
yeah.
feeling that you go through, it does kind of resonate with me a little bit more in that sense too. And I, again, I'm not trying to say, you know, oh, I know how you feel, because I would never ever try to, you know, be that way, because
yeah.
that's incomprehensible for me. But, you know, it's an interesting day. I don't really know how to describe it.
I heard Joe talking about it too when I was driving in, the idea of like watching documentaries or even like that whole 4-hour newscast. I've never mm-hmm. done that. I've watched the documentaries, of course, but in terms of the newscast, nothing's going on tonight. I kind of want to check that out.
There's one documentary that I remember I watched in high school, and it was these two French guys. I can't remember the name of them. I can't remember the name of the documentary. I hope I can find it tonight. But they were in America following around a New York City fire department, mm-hmm. like one specific station.
Yep.
And it just so happened that it started... Their filming started, I think, a week before 9/11.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they were doing filming on documentaries about something with fire companies in America. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, like I said, I hope I can find it later to rewatch it. But, you know, that was a crazy documentary for me to watch, because it's like, you have to, I hope I can look it up in a break here, but you have to watch it, because they're literally at the station that's like 5 blocks away
mm-hmm.
from the World Trade Center, and they happen to be on the street when it all started happening and filming.
Yeah.
And so they catch it as it's happening. Just a live reaction. And I know there's, you know, a lot of, there's not a lot, but there's quite a few videos from TV cameras and things like that, but this one just feels so raw, and, you know, it's not like a news camera. It's just two guys trying to make a movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's very in the moment. It's very, you know,
it's very raw.
Yeah.
Very raw.
Yeah.
And it those are some of the things that will captivate me the most, is just the very raw footage, you know, not the dramatization of it or anything like that. Like, just boom, here you go. And I think that's also why, again, Joe brought up those ideas of going on YouTube and finding like the 4-hour broadcast newscast of that morning. I want to check that out, because I find that stuff really fascinating to watch.
I found it in like a 2-second Google search. It's the Nadeau brothers, NAUDET 9/11 documentary. And if anyone wants to check it out, mm-hmm. that's the one that I watched, and, you know, it's I highly recommend it. It's very good. You can find it on YouTube. I think this is the full thing. It's 2 hours long, so I'm assuming
it feels like the full thing. Yeah, yes.
Right.
Still think about how basically every broadcast was there when the second plane hit the second tower. Just,
right. Yeah, because everyone gets alerted to the first one, and you have everyone.
It's a huge news story.
People
there,
thought
regardless.
It was an accident, yeah. And mm-hmm. then once they saw the second one, they're like, "Okay, this is on purpose. This, right. something, this is bad."
And yeah. that's the thing too. Is it's. That's something I want to watch and kind of grasp as well, as just how it went from a traditional, hey, this is big news. It's going to be big news. I mean, one of the towers has been hit. You know, is it an accident? That alone is going to be a massive story. And to see, I mean, these clips I have seen of people reacting to the second tower being hit always just kind of gives me goosebumps a little bit. Because you do wonder, too, like, how would I handle that in that moment? I remember taking journalism classes and this being a talking point of, like, you know, be honest with yourself. Don't give yourself superpowers in this and, oh, I would handle it super professionally. Be honest with yourself. How would you handle that? And I've always, you know, wondered that. It wasn't like a thing that we all sat down and talked about. It was more we thought about. And yeah, I don't know how I would handle it. I mean, Josh, me and you have been on air a number of times for big breaking news stuff. You know, the Stephon Diggs trade, of course, and that goes its own way. But that you can almost kind of have fun with, right?
Right. It's a sports story. It's a lot yeah. more lighthearted. It's
you may know. Be sad because one of your favorite
well,
players is
right.
going. Or
it's
what
a
have
shock
you.
For sure, but yeah. it's nothing like something.
You know, a
to
developing tragedy.
Right.
That's
exactly.
You know, it's a different thing. And that's always something that's captivated me is how people were reacting on television, on radio, what have you, as it was happening. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump in and share your stories on that day, which you remember, the years following as well. We've got a little bit of a window here, but we're going to go to John here. John, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing? All right.
Doing very well.
Doing good.
I've been working in network television since 1989, and I remember when NBC had the NBA coverage, and the Knicks were good back in the day. I would go up on top of the World Trade Center because they used to have a bank of payphones up there, and I would always call my mother on Mother's Day from the top of the Trade Center, which was quite an experience. Now, several years later, on 9/11. I was working for CBS covering football on Sundays, and then I would go to the Monday night site for ABC when Monday Night Football was on ABC. And we were in New York on that Sunday, and we just happened to take a glimpse of the towers and thought how cool those buildings were. Then we went to Denver, and of course the Giants were playing the Broncos that night, and I still firmly believe that thankfully the Giants were playing that night because that area down by the Trade Center, you know, was a financial district, and a lot of people came in late that day for work because the Giants were playing the night before. But anyway, we were stuck in Denver, and we ended up driving home from Denver the morning of 9/11, and I drove all the way through from Denver, and I made it back to my home here in Dunkirk, and of course, this is a day I'll never forget.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Thanks for the call, man. And yeah, they played September 10th against the Denver Broncos. They lose 31-20. And then I know Jeremy brought up that games were moved like a full week.
The whole NFL season was moved.
Yep.
The whole week.
And their next game is not till September 23rd.
Yeah.
In which they play the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like I've seen something on that game. Like I have an image because they're in Kansas City. I feel like I have an image of that. I want to say there was a flyover. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen something on that of like NFL films or what have you. But yeah, you know, another thing that I remember, not vividly, but I do know this is a thing, is the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire. That movie, its initial, what would you call it, promotion.
Oh,
he swings onto the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They obviously have to change the movie because it comes out in 2002.
Well, and also,
that's the first promotion, and it's one of the first superhero movies since Batman mm-hmm. in the 1980s with Michael Keaton. And this is sort of like the reintroduction, and it's not today, you know,
right.
where
right.
superhero movies are kind of a dime a dozen. There's good ones, there's bad ones, but you know there's going to be one. This was sort of like a, hey, here you go, it's coming out next year, and I've seen that promotion a few times of him swinging onto the Twin Towers and then the pan out because that was the symbol of New York and
right.
Spider-Man is sort of like the hero of New York.
Yeah, and I remember too. I mean, it's been almost a year now, but I recently binged all of Friends, and in the first few seasons of Friends, in the intro,
yep.
in the introductory montage, they have shots of the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the show itself didn't really address it. It did have, like, messages after
But
the
they
episode.
Definitely did not.
No, they didn't. Yeah. They never really addressed it. But at the time, though, you have to think, that show was perceived as a comedy. It's
escapism.
It's escapism. It's trying to be lighthearted and not focus on the real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right? It was a very beloved show at the time, and I'm sure a lot of people turned to it for an escape.
Oh, yeah.
And another thing, too, that if you want to go back to sports, I mean, I know Jeremy and Joe brought this up, but the Sabres and Rangers. The first game of the NHL season, I think, or at least the first two between those two mm-hmm. teams, was October 7th of 2001. They both wear New York-themed jerseys. Mm-hmm. The Sabres changed their jersey for a game.
Yep.
And, you know, again, I'm not old enough, but I've rewatched the footage many times.
Oh, yeah.
That game itself, too, is a very, you know.
It's memorable. It's very memorable.
And it's again, it's hard to watch. It's all, you get really emotional and you get,
mm-hmm.
you think a lot. You know, that's another thing. Today's days like this, for me, are always this kind of like a reflection.
Oh, yeah.
Right? On just everything that's
It's also one of the happened. Few days I actually like social media. And I mean that partially as a joke, but also seriously, because then you will get people to have these long stories mm-hmm. and the long posts that you can see, pictures and stuff like that. I really do enjoy that aspect. I will poke fun at social media all the time. These are one of those days I really enjoy it.
And that,
because you do get... There will always be the one or two you know what's that that ruin it for everybody, but for the most part, it's very happy maybe is not the right word, but it feels good.
It's good to see the stories still being told, because that's the one thing too is, you know, as we get further away from this event, I mean, you know, I think about like my cousin, right? My mm-hmm. cousin was born in 2006. He wasn't even alive when this happened.
Yeah.
You know, when people can write down these stories and put them on the internet forever, that's important, because you can have the younger generations still learn.
I mean, my brother's was born in 2001.
Yeah, right.
He was 3 months old.
Yeah, so obviously he doesn't.
And he's a guy that now can order a beer and go out.
Right.
So like it's. I mean, we've already gotten to that point. Jeremy brought up, I mean, it feels like
Me
a long
and you
time
were
ago.
At that point.
But we're at that point. We we're in our careers and stuff like that. So we're already getting to that point where, yeah, people need to share the stories, because we are at a point now where for kids in elementary school, in our spots that we were at, or preschool, the only thing they're going to see is, sure, the news coverage, but they're going to see in the history book. They're going to see those pictures and stuff like that and be like, I don't remember that. And then eventually we're going to be parents. You know, we're in that age group, 25, 26. We can be parents, you know, coming up here. And our kids will ask us, and we'll be like, ask grandma and grandpa. You know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Jim on the line. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
I was at work in Lockport, and I was listening to WNSA with Artie Wander, and that station stayed on. Like, that's the first time I heard it, and I had everybody else switch their stations and that, because they were listening to their music or CDs and that. It was just, I mean, I was at Ground Zero in May, and it just, like, brought back so many memories of just, like, listening to that. And just, like, we left there at 10 o'clock at work. We're supposed to work till, like, 2
mm-hmm.
because we just went home and stuff. And I served in the National Guard, and I retired in January 2001, and I called my recruiter, and I said, do I have to go back? And he's like, no, you did your time. I was willing, ready, and able to go, but it's just, I mean... Somebody told me before I was in school I was going to be a broadcaster, and I wanted to go sports broadcast. And then my teacher told me, he goes, he wanted me to do a paper, and I was going to do it on sports. He said, you can't do it on sports or weather. It's not news. And that brought me back that they stayed on that sports station for the news the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing. So sportscasters can broadcast the news too. So wherever the instructor is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jim, thanks for the call. And yeah, that's the thing. I brought up college as well. And that was a big thing that I know my professors at Buff State and even my 1 year at Edinburgh brought up a lot of, like, you may want to be into sports, but you've got to be able to do not everything, but if something happens, if there is major breaking news, I mean, even in the sports world, if, you know, there is a you know, a car accident, a death, what have you, you've got to be able to pivot to a much more serious topic. And that's where, I mean, like today does sound very somber, of course. I mean, you know, we're going to get to happier topics. Don't get me wrong. I did want to start here just because I felt like it'd be inappropriate to not. But you got to be able to do both. And I think it's really nice that, you know, people can be reminded of that as well. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we get back, Sandy, we'll take your call. We're also taking yours as well. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to share your stories on what you remember from that day, or if you're in mine and Josh's shoes where you don't really have memories, you're getting them more from, you know, YouTube videos and documentaries and your parents who were obviously, you know, closer to our ages when it was happening. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Lopez wants it away. And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run by Piazza. And the Mets lead 3-2.
Very famous home run from Mets catcher Mike Piazza of, you know, in the days following the attacks.
That was the first sporting event in New York since September 11th.
That moment I've seen hundreds of times. On just like most iconic sports moments, what have you, I have seen that a lot, and it always kind of, even if it's a little bit, it'll give me goosebumps. I'm not a Mets fan by any means, but that is a moment where it's like, oh, wow, that'll get you. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up at 10:45, we will hear Sal Capaccio's interview with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, giving a bit of an injury update as we head into game day tomorrow night as the Bills will travel down to Miami to take on the Dolphins for Thursday night football. We'll then talk to Sal at 11 o'clock, and then we'll also get a look at the weather at 11:30 as Patrick Hammer will join the show. But we go back to the phone lines. We are, of course, talking about today, 9/11, over 20 years ago today. Both Twin Towers were attacked by terrorists. Both went down. And it is a moment in history that both me and Josh, while yes, we were alive for it, we were both guys now in our mid-20s and don't really have much of a memory about it. And it's, you know, as two young guys, I will always enjoy getting to hear other people's experiences. So I took a class in high school, it was World War II, and my teacher at the time, Mr. May, it was one of our projects, go speak to a World War II veteran and hear their story. And we wrote a piece on it. It was one of my favorite projects I've ever done in a time in high school where I hated doing work. And it was still something I just loved.
I was the same way with history. It's something that you, when you learn about other people doing these amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
And hearing what they went through, like, it's something that just kind of is very captivating, I mean, at least for me, that it doesn't make it feel like work. It makes it just feel like you're actually, like, learning something.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest part about, you know, when we get to see these stories is you get to learn about these people that did amazing, incredible things on an awful day.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Sandy on the line. Sandy, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning to you. It's a memorable day, yes, for everybody. I had to share a story that I did. I was in the car business for like 45 years. I'm retired now. But I'll never forget. It was like September 1st is when they deliver all the brochures for all the new cars coming out. It was the Ford Focus. And I was just there, got all the boxes, put them in there. And after September 11th, wow, what a thing. Ford came there and they grabbed every single brochure. And I go, why are you taking all the brochures? Well, I kept a box. And I opened up the box and there was somebody sitting in the Ford Focus staring up at the World Trade Center. And you could see the reflection in the sunglasses of the World Trade Center. And that's why they took them down. They took every single one of those brochures down. And I happened to keep a few for memorabilia. I'm going to send one to you guys so you have it. It's an incredible brochure to look at, just to see it. I get goosebumps, too, every time I see it. And when one of the police officers that were from Buffalo, New York, was down there, the car got demolished, and he brought me a piece of it. And I put a black leather trim all the way around it, and I had it framed. And it's just my memorabilia and something to keep me adapted to what's really going on. You know, I get goosebumps thinking about it right now.
And, you know, yeah, Sandy, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, and it keeps the memories alive. It does. And that is the thing. I mean, I brought up the Spider-Man example. I mean, that was the Twin Towers. I mean, the World Trade Center was the symbol of New York City at the time. Josh, I mean, you only really get that through historical context of hearing about it. But, like, yeah, that was the symbol. And so it makes sense that they all came back and go, we've got to change this. Makes sense. And, yeah, that's the part that always kind of surprises me a little bit, of just how much the world did just change. I mean, just the next day, I know Jeremy and Joe talked about it too, of air travel or air traffic just stopping.
Well, yeah, the other thing that's, you always see the time lapse of the flight map from that morning. There's like hundreds of, if not thousands, of planes in the air over the United States. And then within 30 minutes, they're all on the ground. And there's no flights. There's no planes on the flight map. It's crazy.
I don't even know. It couldn't have been like, you know, 2 weeks or whatever. But I've never like taken the time to like look up like when like flight travel actually started up again.
I think Jeremy said it was 24 hours something like that. But he wasn't even really sure either. But I know it was at least like a day or two.
But I know that's somebody. I actually very much enjoyed flying. I just this summer I got to take my girlfriend on her first flight, and it was like genuinely I was very excited for it. But I could imagine, you know, people after that event too just swearing off flying, like, I'm done. And I would completely understand it. Like, for me, again, I don't have really any of those experiences. I fly down to Florida, you know, every other year. I flew down to Nashville this year. I'm going to Texas later this winter. I love flying, and I've never had to think about it because, well, it's never been something for me. But I can imagine for a lot of people that was a jarring day, especially if you were someone that traveled a lot and all of a sudden on a dime everything stops. And you really don't get like much of an explanation because nobody really knows what's going on. It's a developing story as it's happening. So, of course, you're going to get people incredibly frustrated. They've got to be, you know, they're in Baltimore, but they've got to be in Houston by 4 o'clock or what have you. And everyone's freaking out. No one really knows what's going on. And even when the news is happening, it's still sort of, it feels surreal. I mean, we've had some of those moments in our lives that I've had that feeling of surrealism where you're just like, man, I am watching a moment in history. But am I? And then you're sort of almost grappling with just how much is this going to be remembered. It's a jarring feeling when you do sit down and sort of think about it. And somebody that, like myself, who is a history junkie, it can not be rattling, but definitely it sits with you. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Josh here on the line. Josh, how are we doing today?
Everything's today. Yeah, it's a somber, surreal day. I think you really nailed it there. For me, it was my senior year, Pioneer High School, and over there in Arcade. And I can remember my teacher, I think I was in chorus, Mrs. Miller, wheeling out the TV. And she was just crying even while she was, you know, bringing that TV into the chorus room. She's bawling. And I'm like, I can remember feeling like what, you know, it's surreal, I think is a great word that could describe it. But even on top of that, like that day, I can remember vividly because I was really into Payable on Death, POD. If you remember, they had that song called Alive, and that album was called Satellite. It came out that day, and I can remember being like, I want to buy it, but I don't know if that's wrong. Like, am I wrong?
Yeah.
Buying this album?
Mm-hmm.
So I drove up to the city. I drove up to Best Buy. I bought it. It was really somber and weird and quiet. And I can just remember just that tension that was there for a long time. But even on top of that, like you guys were mentioning, the last caller called about the Ford Focus vehicles. It kind of reminded me of this band called Squad 5-0. If anybody wants to check it out, they had an album called Bombs Over Broadway. And before when the album came out, I think it was the year before what happened, it had two planes going down Broadway on the album cover, and they had to change it afterwards. But obviously, it was like kind of a creepy, like, is this a prophecy or something?
Yeah,
but,
very ominous feeling.
Yep. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that again, because you were saying all those different memories and stuff. It really, I mean, I'm a little shooken up right now. Just kind of reflecting back on it, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk about it today.
Yeah, Josh, thanks for the call, man. And I think you nailed something, too, that I don't think is often talked about is in a sense, almost returning to normal life. You mentioning going to, like, oh, I want to get a record today. Like, is that, like, a bad thing? And just, you know, not the same, but, you know, we're talking about living in historical events. January 6th, you know, the Capitol riots. I went to work later that day, and it felt weird. I worked at a car wash at the time, and I had my boss call me and was like, "Hey, are you honestly checking in? Like, are you cool to come in today? Checking, you know, making sure I'm okay, the whole thing." And I felt weird at the time answering it as positively as it is. I was like, "Yeah, of course, I'll be in like an hour and a half. Like, why are you calling me? Like, I'm coming in." I had a good relationship with my boss, so we were kind of giving it back to each other. But like, I could, you know, as I'm then getting in my car to drive, and I'm like, oh. And I had the same feelings that Josh the caller just had there, where I'm like, is that bad on me? Like, should I maybe have said no? Should I have thought about it? It was weird. It was very weird. I'm not comparing necessarily the two, but just I've had the similar experience of like, it feels kind of weird to go back to normal life, and especially the day of. But, you know, I think everyone does kind of return. It's just, you know, and that's what we're bringing up with the air traffic or, you know, and all the stuff. And I'm going to look that up in the next break. But if it was 24 hours, I would imagine people showing up the next day had a feeling of, why are we here? You know, we're very much the tension as well. I think Josh nailed that word as well, the tension around everything. It is one of those things. I wish I had more cognitive thoughts. I mean, as a 3-4-year-old, we're barely forming memories. I think, we all start to form memories at about 3.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
But yeah, so there's a part of me that wishes I did have memories, just because I am fascinated. I am interested in how the human mind works in situations like that, because it is something that is just captivating to me. Let's go back to the phones here before we take our next time out. We've got Mark on the line. Mark, how are we doing today? Mark, are you there? Mark is not there. That is a shame. Maybe we'll use this as a good transition to kind of move over. We are going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott, his sit down with Sal Capaccio. I will tell you, though, Josh, haven't mentioned the injury report yet for the Dolphins. Achan Mozart out again of practice yesterday. I don't know if it was a walkthrough. I want to ask Sal that at 11, because the asterisk was there for the Dolphins report. I don't know if they've done two straight walkthroughs. That would be a big miss for them, for a team that sort of just slogged their way through to ultimately a win over Jacksonville.
And those two players were big parts.
They're big parts of it. McDaniel comes from the Shanahan run scheme. We saw how that worked on Monday night.
Right.
McCaffrey may be the gear that gets the car, you know, going. But it's the Shanahan system that is like, I'm the car.
You can swap them out.
Yeah, I'm the car. And so I that's going to be something that I think is interesting. Oh, and we have news on that. Cameron Wolf is reporting. He's of NFL Network. Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert is out Thursday night against the Bills, while running back Devon Achane, an ankle injury, is more of a we'll see, could be a game time decision. That is per head coach Mike McDaniel. So, I mean, right there, one of the running backs is out. It is Raheem Mostert with a chest injury. Devon Achane seems to be a game time decision per head coach Mike McDaniel. And on that, we'll come back after a quick timeout and we'll get more from the Bills head coach Sean McDermott as he sat down with Sal Capaccio. We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Automotive. For whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
We've gotten an update on the Miami Dolphins, and now we do go to Sal Capaccio sit down with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and his appearance on WGR is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Okay, good morning, Coach. Hope you had a great victory Monday, but obviously a quick turnaround here to a game on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's been a quick turnaround, Sal. It's a game we're looking forward to. Like every game, and it's a divisional opponent, so it'll be a big challenge for us.
Okay, obviously we know about some key injuries. Let's start with that. You've already ruled Taron Johnson out. I know you talked about Smoot a little bit. Anybody else you can tell us about for this game specifically?
Right, so Taron's out. Smoot will be out as well. Javon Solomon is listed as doubtful, and the rest should be good to go.
Okay, let's talk about Josh Allen a little bit. In his week, obviously he's got the left hand injury. We saw him with a glove on at practice. How did you feel Josh got through the last couple of days?
Well, he's managed it. He really has. He's done a good job. He's so physically and mentally tough. The trainers have done a really nice job. Again, in a short window of time, because of the quick turnaround, I think everyone's done a phenomenal job, including Josh. And he'll play a big part for us in the game.
We always talk about every year, every month. You even joked about it last offseason. Hey, we're always going to be talking about dialing it back with Josh or protecting him from himself. Even in this situation, is that a little bit tougher because you have to kind of think about that and have him understand the risks that go along with having an injured hand?
Well, he's been cleared to play medically. That's first and foremost in the conversations that we have had this week, have centered around first and foremost, making sure that he is good to play, mm-hmm. which they've assured me that he is. And then we go from there. And at the end of the day, we all have to step up our game. And Josh, just like he did, I thought, fabulously last week, was really trusted the players around them, was in control of the game, in control of the pocket. It's definitely trying to be smart so that he can get through the whole game and beyond.
All right. So Taron, obviously a big loss. He's a fantastic player. He's an all pro, but you have a guy in Cam Lewis who's been here 6 years, coach. I mean, like, for his growth and development to be in this position, I know you trust him, but he's also pretty unique. He plays safety. He plays nickel corner. He can be a personal protector. He can do a lot of things. What makes him so unique to be able to do all that?
Yeah. I mean, really, really to me, again, fascinating with his development, his growth. Great that he's a local guy from UB. I think that's just kind of the cherry on top here. And then, he's just wired in a way that he's extremely hungry. He works hard. And no job is too small. No job is too big. He's always been a team first guy. And here he gets an opportunity early in the season when Taron goes down. And I thought he performed well last week. And this will be a big challenge again this week.
And, of course, the other UB guy, Jamarcus Ingram, for him to have to shift roles last week on a moment's notice, what does that say about him?
Again, another UB guy, right? And I thought Jamarcus had one of the best training camps of anyone mm-hmm. on our team, and that carried over into the first game. Quite honestly, not exactly knowing if he would have even been active for that mm-hmm. game until the injury with Smoot, perhaps. So all that being said, tremendous young man, works extremely hard. Really excited for him and the opportunity he has as well.
All right, one more specific guy I want to ask you about is Von Miller. We talked with Von on Wednesday. He said he felt like he was having a good camp. He did a lot of things well. It translated, even not just the sack that he had on Sunday, but he thought he was doing the things that he needs to do. How did you feel Von Miller played back in the opener?
Yeah, definitely a step in the right direction. And with that comes some confidence, I believe, right? Which we're all human, even someone like Von Miller, who's accomplished as he's been, we all need that kind of, affirmation of what we're doing and that is paying off. So great to see him. Great to see the smile on his face and when he got that sack, and we're looking for many more.
Coach, I want to ask you about a couple of things you were going to want to clean up on. First of all, penalties at home, false start penalties, things like that. How do you correct those things in practice? What do you kind of reinforce with the guys?
Well, the discipline, and then some of it's not always discipline. Some is discipline. Some is, they're maybe thinking too much instead of thinking about the right things. Mm-hmm. So we're clearing one's head enough to think clearly. So we try and get to the bottom of it, but for sure we can't have it.
And then, of course, the kickoff return that went against you. Have you identified where the breakdown was and how to correct that?
I'll give them some credit with the scheme. We probably could have done a better job with handling the scheme. And then, like I mentioned, after the game, I thought we had three or four players there to make the play. And unfortunately, one player knocked another player off, mm-hmm. and it was kind of like the perfect storm. So we've focused in hard on that over the last few days. And our hope is that it'll be better, and it needs to be better.
Let's go to the positive there. Brandon Codrington, first time he touches the ball in a Buffalo Bills uniform. What did you see that happened on that play with Brandon be able to break it?
Yeah, first of all, it was a ball that hit the turf, right? So good kick by their kicker, and that's a tough thing to field. You kind of got to be an infielder in baseball, mm-hmm. right? And thought Brandon did a really nice job of fielding that, keeping his poise, and then getting vertical. And, we had a double team there, and we were able to get a hat on a hat, as we say, which is a man on a man, and get some good blocks there for him. And just the energy it brought our team, I thought was phenomenal, especially being down 7-0 right there. It was a big time energy swing.
And then, of course, Tyler Bass. I asked you about him the other day, but just to see him regain that form, I'm sure that was not only short term for what you needed in the game, but long term, how much that can mean for him.
Well, again, he's been on a journey like all of us. You go through through a journey when you're in this business year to year and then just overall in your career. And there's going to be ups and downs. And, you know, I think it's been tremendous how he's handled it, right? Coming off of last year and in the last game, I know everyone wants to focus on that. And, you know, his focus is where it should be, which is, you know, on today and in the game last week. He was very present, and I thought he kicked it extremely well on the field goals and extra points, and we're looking for more of that going forward.
The Miami Dolphins had a big turnover near the goal line. The peanut punch came out. I was reading some stuff, how much they really concentrate on that. Every team does, right? How much is ball security going to be something you really preach this week, knowing they're going to be going after it, especially obviously with Josh in the hand and everything?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, typically against the Dolphins with their high powered offense, it's about points, not yards, mm-hmm. and then taking care of the football. I mean, you look at the games that we've played, you know, the first game last season, we were able to take the ball away and score touchdowns rather than field goals. And in the second game, the last game of the regular season last year, we had yards, but not as many points, you know, through touchdowns and whatnot. So it's points over yards and making sure we take care of the ball.
And then, of course, to have this dynamic offense. But you are a bit familiar with them. Does it help a little bit to have two familiar opponents? They're going to have the same thing on you a short week as opposed to a team that you haven't seen very much.
At the end of the day, we got to go play football, right? Coach football, right? So it'll be about blocking, tackling, and execution, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
No doubt about it, Coach. What do you normally do on Thursday night football? How do you normally spend a Thursday night as opposed to playing a football game in South Florida?
Well, normally we're getting done practice on a Thursday for us and our process here, and getting home probably somewhere, I don't know, after the game has started, and we're kind of starting to wind down our week. So this will be us ramping our week up in a short amount of time here. So we're looking forward to it.
All right. Good luck. Best of luck on Thursday night. Safe travels to South Florida.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott's appearance with Sal Capaccio. And his appearance on WGR is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. For the Bills, we do now know officially that Dwayne Smoot has been ruled out, along with Taron Johnson, who was earlier in this week. Really, the story for him now is, will he be placed on IR? While Javon Salmon is going to be considered a doubtful, who's been dealing with that oblique injury. Everyone else, though, good to go. And that, of course, does include Bills quarterback Josh Allen. He was ruled officially a go by McDermott earlier this week, but now it seems to kind of just be like, yeah, he's managing it, we're working through it. You know, he's got a glove on, might wear it, may not, but he's going to be a good to go. And then for the Dolphins, as Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel just wrapped up speaking with the media about 10-15 minutes ago, he has ruled out running back Raheem Mostert due to a chest injury, while Devon Achane, also a running back with an ankle injury, is considered a game-time decision. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll hear from Sal Capaccio, get his thoughts on what he heard from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. That's coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.